Welcome back. Matters arising.
That's right.
Daddy, the training team, Daddy and Brother Gabriel. Daddy is the pastor. Okay, all right. The training team, you know, everywhere on Christendom, in Christendom, in the social media today, is the issue of pastors divorcing their wives. Mm-hmm. Just recently, a very, very popular and powerful man of God came and said he was divorcing his wife. And that's Pastor Joshua Eginla. We have a video where he said he's making a confession to his church. Let's stay back and watch this interesting video of Pastor Eginla's confession.
Because I hardly sleep, my blood pressure is going up, and I don't want to leave this world before my time. And I know you know I'm a gift to you and the body of Christ. It's so painful that when men of God go through strife, you are quick to throw the stone, abuse them, say all sorts of insults to them. It's good. We will receive it as a cross, because that's part of our battle in life. There's no man of God at my level who wants to pray, to go through trials in marriage or battles in marriage. Nobody will want to pray to have any collapsed marriage or a collapsed family. Nobody. But when you get to a level where you see some circumstances that are beyond you, you have to pray. That's why I say pray for leaders. Pray for them. Pray for them. Maybe I might be the first man of God doing this in this fashion. That is how I'm led to do it. And I want you to throw your stone at me, abuse me, insult me. I will receive it. But I want to stay alive, if not for you, for my destiny. I and your mother in the Lord, we met, and we had a wonderful marriage. And before we started, we started by checking our genotype. She was AA, I was AS. It's difficult for me to say, but I have to say it this way and stop at a particular point. And then we had our first daughter, a wonderful child, and eventually we discovered she was sickle cell anemia. You've seen me pray for people here with sickle cell anemia, and God has been doing miracles. I saw it as a battle and a challenge for me as your father, which is a trial of faith for me, which is not a problem. Not a problem at all. I embraced my daughter and we had good time in my family. And that's all. We flowed with my wife and everything was okay. And then discovered in the course of time that she was actually AS and AS. No problem. It was not a battle. But one thing led to another thing. Something happened, which I don't want to go into those details. And what happened is what we make a man to divorce his wife, scripturally, I had the backing for that. I had to cover it up to make sure that my marriage moved with your mother. And that led to so many things. So many things. You see, because I'm a man of God, I cannot divorce my wife. Because if I do, all of you will say a man of God is divorcing his wife. I chew it as a pill. But eventually it brought an unholy child into the matrimony, which became a pill for me to chew. I'm not wanting you to judge my wife or judge anything. I just want you to just know. It led to that and brought me. We had serious battles here and there, families, interventions and everything. We covered it. We would have not gotten to this point today if my wife had listened to me when we had the battle. I also went out and have a child outside wedlock. And then it became a battle in the family. And so this battle has become a big one that both some men of God are taking advantage of this battle, of that battle, and sons who are under me who are very bad. I feed on this battle. I've tried for 7 years to stable the vehicle, but it has not been. I want you to take the blame to be on me, but I want you to know that it started from this point to that point. As it is now, it has become a pain, because when your wife begins to fight you on everywhere you go, insulting you, throwing it, after that I said, don't fight me, let's solve this problem in the secret. If we cannot solve it, I'll come to the world, I'll confess my sin to the world, receive the insult, and end the marriage. And that is what I'm doing today. Because the battle is bad. He has pushed me to this point today that I'm confessing to the whole world. I want the world to know. I want you to insult me, but I said the day I open up to the world of what she, because this battle didn't start as if Papa started the battle. She pushed me to this, and I covered her up, and I did not divorce her. And when mine came, she threw me to the wall, sending everywhere I go. My wife is calling people, telling people, sending pictures, sending this. I feel it so bad because I'm not sleeping at all. And then children who don't know my story are insulting me unnecessarily. I felt I want to end the struggle. I want it to be on media, insult me the way you want to insult me. I accept the blame. I'm not going to fight my wife. I'm not going to fight her. But I've said the day you push, I pleaded with her for 7 years. I've knelt down. I begged her. I pleaded. But she chose to make me a laughing stock before people. And I said to her, the day I come up to the air and say this thing to the people, it marks the end of the union. Because if you cannot cover me in the second place. Can I talk? If you are not in my shoe, if you are not in my shoe, you will not be able to talk the way I'm talking. Someone shot fire. I just have to end it here. I want you to know this is where it is. Pray for us, and God will keep us all in Jesus' name.
That's the interesting confession of Pastor Joshua Iginla, divorcing his wife. And this has gone viral. Everybody in the Christian faith is talking about this. And it's not just that. It's like it's a common thing happening in this generation. We also have the video of Benny Hinn, coming out openly to apologize to the world, to speak about his own divorce also. Let's stay back and watch Benny Hinn's video.
Stay tuned for a special announcement from Pastor Benny to you, his special partners.
This is a very painful letter to read. I've sent it to you, and I know you'll read it, but I want to read it just in case someone won't get the chance or is not on our mailing list. I come to you with a broken heart. You may have heard by now that my wife Suzanne, whom I love very much and always will, filed for divorce on February 1st. Even though Suzanne has been under great stress, the children and I never expected this to happen. Divorce was the last thing on my mind and theirs, my children. It was a total shock when her lawyer called me the morning of the 17th of February to inform me that she had filed 16 days before. Suzanne never gave the family even a hint that this was on her mind. Even to this moment, the children and I don't know why she did it. Neither did her parents know until I told them myself on the 17th. As I said earlier, I love my wife, and I am praying that the Lord Himself will take care of this and bring healing to my precious family. I also want you, my very dear partner, to know that there was absolutely no immorality involved in my life or in Suzanne's life, ever. We both kept our lives clean and were totally committed to each other for 30 years of marriage. We both kept our covenant with God and stayed pure before Him. My wife had no biblical grounds to do what she did, and I am praying with all my heart that our precious Lord Jesus will heal my family and protect His work for His glory. I want you, my partner, to know, and you precious partners in this ministry to know, I am going to continue preaching the gospel.
Praise God.
And praying for the sick
Absolutely.
As I have for 36 years of ministry.
That's right.
I will not allow anything to slow me down or stop me. Nothing will stop me from preaching. My commitment to my precious Jesus is forever.
Yes.
And nothing will ever change that. I know that he will protect his precious name, and glory and honor will be given to him forever. And now I ask you as my partner, whom I love and appreciate, and that's a fact, by the way. I appreciate you very much. To pray for Suzanne, for our family, and for me, that the Lord will strengthen us and keep us, and that his will be done, will be accomplished in our lives. My precious children, whom I love very much, Jessica, Natasha, Joshua, and Alicia, and I thank you for all you have done and continue to do for the glory of our precious Redeemer and Savior, Jesus, God's precious Son. In closing, I want you to know that my children and I are doing well. I am going to pray and do everything as a dad to make sure that my children and my grandchildren fulfill their destinies in God.
Amen.
And bring glory to the name of Jesus all the days of their lives. Thank you again for your prayers and support. I love you very much. Benny Hinn.
Welcome back. We've heard two confessions from great men of God. Mm-hmm. But what's even more trending, especially in this part of the world, this part of Africa, is Pastor Moses' own reaction to
response.
His response to that of Pastor Ingila, where he spoke. In fact, I need not say it. Let's just sit back and watch the oversight of the Bride Assembly Church, our beloved Pastor Alu, responding to Pastor Ingila's divorce.
Somebody sent me a text. I was feeling very angry. I had to call him. I was very interested to know which church he belonged, because he's accusing me. Why do you call names? Why do you call names of ministers? Thereby rubbishing people. Why do you? So I say, I'm a talking preacher, not a writing preacher. So let me call this young man, let's talk. I called him. I asked him, which church do you belong? He said he's from Deeper Life. And I told him, I said, it is because of you I speak the way I speak, to demystify those idols that you have in your heart. Who are they? Servants of God. You reverence them so much until even when they are wrong, you are afraid to point it out. They succeeded in bewitching all followers, so that even when somebody came out in Abuja and said he's making a confession, and at the end of the confession, he is telling the whole followers, because it's his followers, he cannot tell me that I'm not his follower, that at the end of it all, he is divorcing his wife. Hey, pastor! See the difference between him in Abuja and Benny Hinn and Oyakhilome. Oyakhilome came on air and said, the woman desired divorce, but he doesn't want it because the Bible does not permit him. Benny Hinn came also and said he agrees with his wife, whatever is her grievance. But he's praying and asking people to please help him talk to his wife, that she should change her mind, because the Bible will not allow him to divorce his wife. In case you are listening to me, that man in Abuja, what's his name again? Ingila, listen. Go back and reconcile with your wife. Go back. And to start with Ingila, You were not confessing. That's not confession. There was no posture of a contrite spirit. There was no posture of a repentant heart. You were moving about from left to right, from the end of the church. In the same way you preach sermons, you cannot put that same posture when you want to make a confession of a sin you have committed. Number two, listen, let the killer hear this so that you will know you can bewitch your members, you cannot bewitch those of us who know the Christian faith. To start with, you were not confessing. See, whom, listen, church, I'm saying this. That is why they will never like me. And I'm not looking for people to like me. People who are looking for people to like them don't talk like I talk. Listen, church. Listen and listen very well. Hallelujah. I don't have problem with the fact that you committed sin, Igila. I am looking at what you call confession. You were arrogant in your presentation of your confession. And number two, you came to make confession. You claim it is confession. The reason you are coming to confess is because you say when your wife did her own, you covered her. Now you did your own, your wife found out, and she's not ready to cover you. And the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That is number one. Listen, because I read it and I had comments of even some of you sitting down here today. Oh, he's a humble man of God. He's a humble man. He has confessed. Let me tell you, when you commit sin, it is who you have sinned against that you go to confess. You went and committed adultery. Does the church need to know that? Did you offend the church? You offended, you broke a marriage vow with your wife. You have to go before your wife. Now, listen, the only reason you will come to the altar and tell the church is because your wife has decided after all entreaties to still leave you. So the church is going to know that your wife has divorced you. So you will feel obligated to let them know why you are now without a wife. Then you can now tell them, I had issues with my wife. Like Oyakilome made it clear that he has issues with the wife. Whatever is the issue, till today we don't know. But she said she will no longer marry me. I have tried everything. And you will have involved the elders, you will have involved everybody, you will have involved men of God that she respects, all to beg her. But you didn't. And what you did was to go and then you were, according to you, you are covering it up. Now you decided to open it. And listen, listen again, Igila. You went, instead of you to confess the sin you committed against your wife, you also came openly to open her own up. You are saying, she too, she did it. Is it your business to say that? Is that confession? You were coming up publicly to rubbish your wife. Because your wife is going about complaining everywhere. Now the church is about to know what is happening. So in your arrogance, you are telling them, I will finish you. You are talking my own, I will come on there and talk your own. She too, now she first do amo. I covered her up. Then, me too, I go do am. She not going to cover me up. Therefore, make her confess. To who? And at the end, he's ending up by shouting, Holy Ghost, fire. fire on your wife. Then you say people like us should not talk. You went to the media to mess up the Christian faith. Some of us are also in the media to correct it. And that is what I am doing now. I repeat, go back to your wife. I reverse that divorce between you and your wife in the name of Jesus Christ. We refuse. God does not allow you to divorce. Go back and settle with your wife and come back again. Igila, you can come to Lagos and see me for counseling. You need counseling. Praise the Lord. So you come and tell me, why am I calling names? I can call the names in the Bible, but I should not call the names that are in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. So the young man that called me, if you're a young man, because I don't know, your voice sounded like a young man, that I'm calling him. I'm sorry, like I told you on the phone, I have no apology. You are not looking at any doctrine I am preaching. You are only concerned that I am calling names. So that means you don't even know what we are saying here.
These are some of the matters arising, rocking the Christian faith at this particular junction of time. And it's very funny. We have two parties.
That's right.
Some people are applauding Pastor Moses. Wow, that's powerful man of God, right on. That is a very good response. While some people are laying condemnation, who does this man think he is? Why is he saying this? You know, a lot of people saying, disagreeing with you, some agree with you. Okay, we've brought you before the world to make comment on these issues. And the first question I'll love to ask you is, does the Bible permit divorce on any occasion, any grounds?
That is, it's really unfortunate. We have largely, the body of Christ, largely Christians who don't study their Bible, who are just in a Christian faith and have no bearing. All they know is what they hear from the pulpit, not what they see in the Bible. Wow. You can imagine after almost 2,000 years of the Christian faith and so many hundreds of years of Christianity in Nigeria, you can see that somebody who says he reads this Bible and is hearing that a Christian, if not even just even a church member.
A leader.
A leader. Mm. A pastor.
That's true.
You know, is divorcing his wife. Because take note, it's not the woman that broke the marriage. He is. And it was under a threat. The day you push me to go public, that's the end. Mm. So you've been threatening that woman for so long. if people ever know their Bible, including pastors like this, God, if he knew his Bible, he wouldn't do that. That's the truth. You can't live your Christian life, you know, beyond what you know of the scriptures.
That's
you know
correct.
He doesn't even know he's breaking any scripture. I mean, if he knew, he would be afraid to come on air, you know. Mm-hmm. Or because he knows the people will judge him. Mm. But he himself knows that the people he's leading don't know Bible. Not just knowing Bible, I mean not even the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. You know. So you see the problem that we are in. If he had known that, and remember, for him to come out publicly like that and confidently the way he's doing, it's because he's aware that other so-called men of God are into it too. Mm. Many of them divorce and remarry, and it doesn't affect their followership. Mm. Because they always have something to explain. You can see him, he's explaining the divorce
of his wife before a moral court. He's not divorcing, he's not announcing his wife, divorces his wife for scriptural reason.
That's right.
He's coming
on a moral basis.
To a moral court to appeal to the people to see.
She started it.
Mm-hmm. She went and brought a child from outside.
Wow.
Then I did my own.
Then I covered her up. So morally, now that she knows my own, if I cover, shouldn't you cover me up? Now, you see, is he putting the scriptures into consideration?
Mm-hmm.
No. If he had known Hebrews chapter 13,
that's four.
And verse 4, mm-hmm. marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. If they know this scripture, will they commit adultery? When he knows there's a judgment of God for doing that. That's why I say you can't live your Christian life beyond what you know of the scripture. And he has his, what do you call it, his supporters. Who are those who are supporting him? There are people who are not Christians, who are not bound by this law. There is one man, they call Daddy something.
Oh, Daddy Freeze.
Daddy something, I don't know.
Daddy Freeze, yes. You know, he made several comments against you.
I understand he too is a divorcee.
That's true.
Is. So what do you, and then to start with, he's not a Christian. Now, if he were a Christian, then, I would be worried.
Okay.
But, he's just a social commentator.
That's true.
Who has found,
Means to be popular.
Voice. I mean, he's given voice. He has added his voice to the fight against corruption in Nigeria. Facing corruption among the men of God.
Okay.
And people have been very worried. Nobody talks about the corruption that is going on in the church. And so he now taking advantage of whatever platform he has with his followers and things like that. Then began to face, the Christian. But if you observe, you will discover that no serious Christian replied him.
Because
you are not a Christian. How do you know what is there? Somebody like Daddy Freeze, it's not his type I am responding to because, I think one or two clips I ever heard from him, he has even quarreled with the Bible.
That's true.
He does not believe that this
King
is
James version. He calls it a slave book.
He gave it all man now. This book, if Daddy Freeze knows what the writers of this book went through, the torture, the bloodshed to preserve what we have today, he won't talk like that. So it's because he's not a Christian.
Okay.
He doesn't know the efficacy of this book. He doesn't know why some of us hold it so dearly.
That's right.
So if he knows, he will reverend, he will not use such language on this book. But it's not about Daddy Freeze, because I'm talking about those we believe are seen as Christians. That if they know what the Bible says, they will not support what he's doing. And ironically, you will see people even within that ministry, they form they constitute a group of people that go into media, with some kind of media war, where they are now facing the woman.
That's true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Within the church, saying such things, he wanted to poison the man, he wanted to do this,
all manner of allegations
he was doing this,
up.
He was doing that, and it's getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. The whole thing is getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier.
All to make the woman look like the enemy.
All to make the woman look like an enemy. What I can't understand, it's been proved beyond any shadow of doubt. For 7 years, you've been with two wives.
Five years. That's right.
Two wives. One in South Africa, one in Nigeria. with children.
Wow.
And you are standing and preaching. Do you think that man knows the Bible? No, I'm just saying this.
Wow.
You know, now there are two things here. Number one, the issue of divorce.
Yes, sir.
Number two, the issue of marrying two wives and still being a minister. So what does the Bible say?
Wow.
Because these people don't know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. Okay, now Matthew chapter 5.
Okay.
And let's read it, verse 31 and verse 32.
Okay, Matthew 5, 31 and 32.
Yes. That's right.
It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you,
Christ is saying now, and we are Christians, followers of Christ.
Amen.
That whosoever shall put away his wife,
anybody that you will put away your wife,
saving for the cause of fornication,
except you catch her in fornication,
causeth her to commit adultery.
You are causing her to commit adultery.
And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery.
Now, you know why I say so? That you are making her to commit adultery because she'll be going to marry another man. In marrying another man, she's living
in
adultery.
Committing adultery, okay.
Okay? Now, and you too, you are a Christian. You marry such a woman that a man put away. You know, you yourself, you are committing adultery. You are living in adultery. So, now, that means, except you catch your wife in adultery, in fornication. You catch your wife with a man, break it down for these ones who don't read the Bible to understand. If that is, you catch your wife, you must catch her. Not they say.
Not an allegation.
Not an allegation. Igila is allegation, no?
Wow.
He never caught her.
But he spoke of an unholy child.
He calls it unholy, and that is even a wicked statement to make for a child. Because that child we hear is rejection. That he came to the family, you know, by an unholy act. That would be wrong.
Wow.
That is already, you know, a label, you know, on him. And that would be wrong. But that's not where I am going.
Wow.
Because, you know, this is in the media now. I'm saying this because some other person is going to take a cue from him and do the same thing to his wife.
Okay.
That's why you see me saying this like this. You know,
contending for the faith.
Yeah, we are contenders for the faith.
That's right.
I am saying it's unchristian to do that. And you don't follow that as an example. Wherever you are, including you. don't do that.
No,
you are Christians. This is the Christian law.
That's right.
You know, now, not on suspicion. Not on suspicion.
There must be a fact.
Must be a fact, evidence. And to him, his evidence is that she goes from place to place. He suspect this, he suspect that. And then you have a child that has become SS. So if you are AS and the wife is AA, then you cannot produce SS according to it. Therefore, that child must have been brought from somewhere. Now, Ikila, you know that is wrong. You know, that medically, if you had gone for counseling before a professional in that area, they will tell you it can spring up at any time. On any child. After all, we have families, even within my own family, my own brother, that has about 3 or 4 children, and one of them has sickle cell. And the rest don't have it. But he knows that is his child. In everything, physical, everything, that's his child. He knows it. He's battling with it. He's not going to say you brought that from somewhere. That is always the excuse of a fornicator. A womanizer. Looking for an excuse.
My God.
They want to look for an excuse, you know, to justify, you know, what they are doing. Now you are saying she did it. Now, secondly, even if she did it and she owned up, if she did it and she owned up, now what you are supposed to do is to forgive her.
That's right.
Unless you catch her, she's deviant.
Okay.
Yes. Because there is no sin that is not forgivable. Love covered a multitude
all
of
sins.
Of sin. Especially if the person confesses.
Confesses. Repents.
But even if you catch her and she shows remorse. There are some things that you do. There are sacrifices we do for the sake of the kingdom. Jesus Christ was speaking in Matthew 19 that some men make themselves eunuch
for the kingdom's sake,
kingdom of God's sake.
That's right.
If you break that scripture down, you can forgive your wife for the ministry's sake.
Wow.
And push ahead and ask God to give you grace to bear it. He said, you know, when you are not converted, don't go into the ministry. That is the danger of this, you know. Now, that is the same thing Christ repeated when the Pharisees came to ask him in Matthew chapter 19.
Matthew 19. Wow.
Yes. Verse what, sir?
Read it from verse 3. Read it even up to verse 11.
Okay.
Okay.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
That is, any cause. Is there any reason? Any reason? Any
reason at all?
And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning?
Can you see where did what did Christ refer you to?
Have you not read?
Have you not read?
That's
where
right.
is written?
The word of God.
Christians don't read. The Pharisees were not reading. They were just busy into ministry without knowing what is written. If they had known what is written, Pharisees wouldn't have known who was talking to them, Christ. Go ahead.
Okay, have you not read? That he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh.
So, you see, inseparable. You cannot separate. How can you separate one from one?
My God.
It's not possible.
One minus one is zero.
That's right.
One minus one is zero. And you must exist. Therefore, there must be no zero. No zero. So the marriage there, the Bible makes no room at all.
For divorce.
Now read on.
Okay. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
What God has joined together. What God has joined. People don't even know what this thing means. That is the law that has brought man and woman, that instituted marriage. Let no man bring any reason at all to teach otherwise. Do you understand?
Amen.
Let no man bring any doctrine, anything at all. When you say, let no man put asunder, let no man reverse what God has established. You are one. You are inseparable. Yes.
Okay. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
But Moses gave this in the wilderness. Why did he do that we can put a woman away? What was the answer?
He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so.
It was not so. Therefore, what Moses did was not the perfect law. In fact, it was not the perfect will of God. In fact, the whole Old Testament is not perfect will of God. Perfection is only in Christ.
Amen.
And that's why the New Testament is a better covenant.
That's right.
Established on better promises.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
On better premises and promises.
Premises
and promises. It's established on better premises and promises. Better promises.
Amen.
So you can see. Now there was a problem that Moses had to face. He knows these Jews, if they hate a woman, she's in trouble. So to save the woman, and let the journey continue in the wilderness. You don't want to have put a
bill of divorcement.
Bill of divorcement. And you know, it is the natural, it's even still the law among the Arabs, the Muslims. You know, if you are free, just write, if you can write a letter three times. This is, I divorce you. One, you can reconcile and she can come back. You write the second one again. You can reconcile and come. If you write the third one, put it down, go. No coming back again. Mm. So some even go to the external. They say, I divorce you. One, I divorce you. Two, I divorce you. Three times in one paper, I sign it and go.
There are no coming back at
no
all.
Coming back at all. Wow. They pick that from Moses. Moses gave that law.
Mm.
You know, they recognized Anabi Isa.
Musa.
Anabi Musa. Mm. Anabi Musa is prophet Moses. Mm-hmm. Anabi Isa is prophet Jesus. Okay. So they recognize the prophet. Now.
That's nice.
Yes. And so it was to save the woman.
Okay. Mm. Because of the hardness of the earth.
But in the beginning, it was not so. Go ahead.
And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication.
Now, except it be for fornication.
And shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Because there's another law in Deuteronomy chapter 24, from verse 1.
Okay.
That's right.
1-2. There's another law in Deuteronomy chapter 24.
When a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his
house.
That
is the law they were referring to. Go on, verse 2.
And when she is departed out of his house,
when she has now gone,
she may go and be another man's wife.
She may go and be another man's wife.
And if the later husband hates her and write her a bill of divorcement.
This second one that he married now. Not like him again. Give her another bill. Say, go. I don't marry you again.
And give it in her hand and send it out of his house. Or if the later husband died.
Even if it is death, that one died.
Which took her to be his wife. Her former husband, which sent her away.
The first husband that sent her away.
May not take her again to be his wife.
You cannot take her again to be your wife again.
After that, she's defiled.
Why?
For she that is abomination before the Lord.
Now, that is why, you know, it says, except it be for fornication. Except it be for fornication. Because once she leaves you and goes to another man and sleeps with another man, she's defiled. You cannot accept her again. That was under the law. And Christ himself, while he was teaching this, said that is the only reason, and there is a spiritual reason to it. Stopping something spiritual. But let me tell you something. You know, while he permits you, the power of love, the power of love, in another scripture, Christ, Jehovah God, made reference to this. How that he had been married to them, although the law says you cannot have them back. When they get married to those idols, that he still comes back.
That's right.
You know, that he still comes back and receives them back to himself.
That's right.
So what stops you? It is demonstrating forgiveness.
That's Jeremiah 3, verse 1.
That's right. Jeremiah 3, verse 1. Let's read it.
Okay. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again?
No, now.
Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many
Israel,
lovers.
Israel, you have played the harlot with many lovers.
Yet return again to me, say the Lord.
Yet you have returned again to me, say the Lord. So you can receive her back out of love.
Out of love.
Inshallah.
So don't just say, no, you committed fornication. Therefore, go. You didn't love her before. If it is love that made you to go and marry that woman, love cannot allow you to part from her because another man went into her, especially when you see her, you know, remorseful. Unless she herself decides she's not interested in it, there's nothing you can do. But that you will say, go away. No, you don't have the spirit of Christ yet.
Wow.
In fact, you're not born again.
Oh my. This is a serious topic.
That is one thing they have to know. Now, this man had his wife legally married, mommy of the church, first lady of his ministry, and everything else. He calls their mother.
Their mother.
That's another thing. I don't know where they get that. I don't know where they get that.
Their sons.
Their sons and mother. People have hijacked the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, we'll talk about that some other time.
That's right.
But they call them their mother. Now watch it here. While still with her, married, he married a South African woman. Had a child. And now the second one is on the way. But if he had known this scripture we want to read now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the condition for being a bishop, a pastor.
That's right.
Okay, verse what?
Verse 1 and verse 2.
This is a true saying.
Yes.
If a man desired the office of a bishop,
yes,
he desired a good work.
Now, a bishop is the head of the ministry. Okay.
A bishop then must be blameless.
See, number one. All of you pastors that are planning to drive away your wife, that have been changing your wives like a rapper, all of you that have been treating women anyhow and still stay, you are the bishop. You are the pastor, you are the prophet, you are the overseer, you are the general evangelist, you are the most senior apostle, whatever it is. Listen now, you must be blameless. There should be nothing anybody within or outside to hold against you. It works against the ministry. You must be blameless, number one. Number two, what?
The husband of one wife.
The husband of?
One wife.
Do you think Igila read this place? No, that's what I'm saying. If he had read this place, he won't do it. I know it. He won't do it.
As simple as that.
Because he will know. And he has never taught this in the church. Because the members will use it against him.
That's true.
You see? You must be husband of one wife. And the remaining qualification, you can keep reading it. Apostle Paul told this again to Titus, chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7.
Titus 1, 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
Okay. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless.
If anybody qualified to be an elder in the church, elder there is not talking of age. Chronological age is talking about leaders in the church.
Yes.
The elders of every ministry are the fivefold ministry.
Okay.
Okay. There should be what? The qualification?
If any be blameless.
You must be blameless. He repeated it.
Wow. The husband of one wife.
Again.
The husband of one wife.
One wife. Any pastor that has more than one wife.
Should resign.
You must resign. You must resign. You are not in the will of God. Every pastor, every evangelist, every prophet, every teacher, every leader in the church, including deacon too. Deacon. First Timothy chapter 3. Read it from verse 8. First Timothy chapter 3.
Okay, verse 8.
Yes.
Likewise must the deacons be grave.
The deacons must be grave.
Not double-tongued. Not giving too much wine. Not greedy of you, the looker. Holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience.
Go to verse 10.
And so let this also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless.
Now, number one, you see it, must be found what? Blameless.
Verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife.
Verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of what?
Of one wife.
One wife. One wife. Because they form part of the elders of the church. So if you are a deacon, you have more than one wife, you are out of the will of God. You have broken the commandment of God. You have broken scripture. So that's what I'm saying. I believe, you see, I'm not coming here to judge Igila. I repeat, the Bible says, he who thinks he stands. Take heed lest he fall. And we are not to rejoice at the fall of anybody. Because whether he falleth or he standeth to his master. That is what the Bible says.
That's true.
But we also have the faith, you know, to uphold.
Yes.
When it has to do with the faith, God raises people at every given time to correct impressions that are created by certain actions, like this one. Now, I mean, we are servants of God. When people come to confess to us because they want us to pray with them, their conscience disturbs them. You know, I have committed fornication. I have done this. I have done this abomination. I have done this. Even homosexuals come to confess. I have this weakness. Ministers of God come to confess to me. I have this weakness. I am a fornicator. I don't know. I cannot resist a woman. This spirit is terrible on me. Now, it's not for me to come to the pulpit and start to talk. I help them out. I pray with them. I counsel them on how to avoid such. I have been at the pulpit. Some of you have seen it several times. Where I will see somebody. The Lord will minister to me. There's a man of God here. So describe you. Your ministry has closed. Yeah. And he will come out. And God will tell me, it is woman that brought it down. It's fornication. To confirm what I hear, I whisper to his ear before the whole church. The Lord is telling me, it's fornication. It's a fornicator. You see him do like this. I said, see me after. God wants to deliver you. It's not to mess him up.
And the church wouldn't even hear
The you. Church wouldn't even know what has happened. I have brought a man and a woman. You know, a woman from Adamawa called me a week or so ago and told me she doesn't want to lose her marriage. She doesn't want to lose her marriage. My husband has driven me away. My husband says he doesn't want marriage again. And it's going. How many children? Says she has 2 children or so. How do you know me? Say, we watch you on the television. I said, so what do you want me to do? I talk to my husband. I said, but he doesn't know me. He said, he watches you. He's even a pastor. I said, a pastor. He said, give me his number. But before I call him, I said, what did you do that provoked him until he's driving you? He said, I betrayed him. That was the language he used. I said, what do you mean? He said, I fornicated. I committed adultery. I said, you confessed to him or he found out? You confessed to him or he found out? She said, he found out. I said, okay, let me ask him. Now, you see, I won't come. She needs help.
That's true.
Then I call the man, and then the man knows me. He said, he watches me. And we spent almost an hour on the phone. I was telling him all he has gone through with that woman. I say, that man's testimony will judge people like Iginla. He told me how many times he has caught her.
Wow.
Yes. Until the woman even caught HIV.
Wow.
And she knew about the status after they have 2 children. That she was surprised she was pregnant. And that she had HIV until the child died from AIDS. They were wondering what was happening. Until something happened because she was sick. The doctor said they should come. They want to take his blood. So he was saying, why are you taking my blood now? I don't have a problem. He said, no, wait, we want to confirm something. Then it was then they opened up. Thank God. They were saying, thank God. You are negative. Your wife is positive, HIV. Then he said, despite that, he said, he loves her. He's an Igbo man. The woman is from the north, the Hausa man there, a woman. He said, he still loves her. And they spoke some other wicked thing the woman was doing around. So wow. He said, pastor, let me tell you, I am not divorcing her. I just want her to go and stay with her parents and realize that there is an effect if she continues that type of life. He said, I'm going to pray that God will have mercy on her and remove the HIV from her. And he said, pastor, I am a pastor. I can't divorce my wife.
Sure.
That is another pastor. I am telling you, you know, or somebody I spoke to, and I won't lie. I fear God. I don't lie. Not because I'm a pastor. Some people will say, not because I'm a Christian. Why should a human being lie?
My God.
Why should people live life, useless life, because they are not Christians? Morally, should you be lying? You know. So I don't lie. Naturally, I don't lie. And more now that I fear God. Why would I? To lie for what? Lie to do what? To tell you story that does not exist so that what will happen to me? What will I gain by it? I'm telling you a fact. By virtue of the ministry, we hear a lot. And some of all our ministries are worldwide. You know, we also hear worldwide issues.
That's right.
Worldwide conditions. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. You know, that you must be a husband of one wife. Even though this man can put away this woman and marry another. He said, number one, for the sake of the ministry, he will bear it as his cross. And secondly, he has two children. For their sake, he wants them to grow up under a mother and a father. So he's busy praying that God will change that woman. And he believes that HIV is God's judgment on that woman. For that type of life she's living. Can you see how spiritual people work?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Can you see how spiritual people work? So he said God is already punishing her. So he'll be praying for God to have mercy on her. But he just separated. He said, he didn't tell her, he just called it divorce. But pastor, I only say she should go and stay. He said, go. He wants her to be away and reflect on the type of life she is living. So you see the difference?
That's right.
Now, if these people read the Bible, you know, that's the problem with these prophets. They spend so much time on their gifts. And they don't know that that gift can only be effective if you line it with the word of God. It's so easy to go off. He has become an idol. There's nothing. Even there is somebody that I had made a statement to my hearing. A man of God. Even if I catch my pastor on top of my wife, I will not judge him. Between him and God, I will still remember that he's my pastor. And I told him, I said, you have been completely bewitched by that man. You need serious deliverance, and only God can deliver you. You see something, a devil, when the Bible give up power to bind and to loose and to cast out the spirit, you see a devil, so you won't cast him out. Can you imagine that?
You want to bear with the devil.
You want to bear with the devil. So that's as far as I'm concerned, you know. And then another scripture that Igila may not be aware of, and its members and its followers may not be aware of. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 10, 11, and 12, sorry.
And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord.
Now, who is the one giving this commandment?
The Lord.
Who is the one giving this commandment?
The Lord.
The Lord. What is the commandment?
Let not the wife depart from her husband.
Let not the wife depart from her husband.
But and if she departs, let her remain unmarried.
If you decide to depart, despite this commandment, that means now two fighting. Let her remain
unmarried
or
be reconciled to her husband.
Be reconciled to her husband.
And let not the husband...
Wait! This is thus said the Lord. To the husband, what did he say?
And let not the husband put away his wife.
Igila, say it again.
And let not the husband put away his wife.
Verse 12.
But to the rest speak I, not the Lord.
It's okay. Okay, go ahead.
If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away.
Can you see? Even if you should be unbeliever. She said, Igila, if that woman says she not call your church again, because of any reason, she don't believe what you do, she don't believe in your call again, but she still want to remain your wife. What did he say?
And she be pleased to dwell with him. Let him not put her away.
Use the language in the Bible. What does it say?
To the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away.
And verse 13?
And the woman which had an husband that believeth not.
Even the woman, vice versa. Mm.
And if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him.
Let her not
leave him.
Leave him. So these things are in the Bible. You will spend hours giving prophecies. Instead of spending hours to study the Bible.
The word.
And now, you know, in a proper setting, you know, in a proper setting, he won't even have the confidence to come and stand. I can't try that in Brother Assembly Church. Because I have brought them, for them to even hear that one sister came and talked, show evidence, say, I pregnant them. Next Sunday, half of the church is gone. The only people that will remain here are people who are not ready to go to heaven. That's they just want the gift. They will remain, though, in case they are healed, they are sick. Make I pray for them. Yes. They are the ones that will tell me, Pastor, don't worry, we'll start with you. We'll be praying with you. But those who want to go to heaven, they will carry their Bible and leave.
Church has scattered. Okay, sir. Thank you for this wonderful and powerful comment.
Just to ask some questions to clarify some things. What if, I heard, we all heard you now. What if they come out, or Engila says he has not been married to this South African woman before, or they just got married recently? How would you explain that with the scriptures? That's one. Secondly, Romans 10:10 talks about he that covereth his sin. You quoted it in your own reaction.
He that covereth his sin shall not prosper.
Yes,
if you confess.
Was he truly, truly covering it, or was he looking for a way to cover his sin? Then the last thing I want to ask again is about confession, true confession. You said he was not confessing.
No, I'm asking three questions.
That's right.
Which one? Let me take them one by one. What's the first
one? Okay, the first one is, what if his viewers or members are saying,
He has just married. When did he divorce that he's married? That he's remarried.
Okay, that's one. Just to clarify things very well.
Now, let's see. It's in the media now. It's everywhere. I'm not saying something new.
That's true.
You know, he himself, he has admitted it now, that he has a child by another woman outside. He said it now.
That's right.
He too brought an unholy child. He's having unholy children, using his language. You know, in his matrimony. He has been with that man.
That woman.
For years. While still with his wife. Hear me see. He went to marry prophetess. Now the question now is whether that woman over there is truly a prophetess of God. You know, well, that is another matter. I'm not concerning that woman. Woman, when it comes to woman, marriage and woman, it's another matter entirely. Yeah, there's another woman prophetess that married only.
That's right.
Okay, now. You know, another prophetess. So we're here, prophetess.
Yeah, I'm prophet.
You know, marrying, you know, ministry is moving to the next level. You know, but I'm just saying here, he had a child and has a second one. And when the old woman is there grumbling and fighting to retain her and telling people, see what he has done, see what he has done, what he's actually saying is, keep quiet. He was threatening his wife. You are aware of what I'm doing, but you must not talk. The day you talk, I will come out publicly. And if I come out publicly to announce to the world that this is what I have been doing, you expose me and leave me to ridicule, that will be the end. So the marriage ended the day he came on the air. And by the time he came on the air, the second became from that
prophetess,
his second wife, was already, you know, the second child was already out already, you know, 5 years already. So then you are now saying marriage. There are documents, we've seen it, that even change of name and everything, the marriage was properly done, everything done, properly done.
So he was actually
while he was
polygamous.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That, just to clarify clearly. Now about you quoted the scripture. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper.
Yes.
He that covereth his sin shall not prosper.
Yes.
And then you also spoke about confession. So let's look at the way he said it. Was he truly covering his sin, or was he even confessing?
No.
You have explained it, but I want you to really use the scripture.
That young man was not confessing.
Mm.
We call it, or rather, English people call it crisis management.
Mm.
It's crisis management. His reputation is at stake. A secret he's been having since is being blown up. The woman is going about protesting after she heard that even the second child is coming up. Mm. He has no time for her again. He's always with the other woman.
Mm.
Every woman will protest. Mm. And I'm going up and down, saying it everywhere. Mm. And it's not coming to the open. And maybe she's threatening, I will go to the press. And he's running ahead. It's crisis management.
Mm.
It's not confession.
Crisis management.
Now look at the whole setting. It is crisis management.
Hmm.
Nothing more. And it is not off. It is still on now with this media team that he has put together. And then the woman is saying her own. He is saying his own. She is saying his own. I heard him saying, God is a faithful judge. He will judge us.
Hmm.
The woman is saying he will judge us. All the lies he's saying concerning her, only God knows the truth. God will judge. You see, so she is having no problem. He is the one having problem.
Mm.
She will want to have him back. But he once preferred that prophetess. You know, and things like that. Now, what I'm saying, you see, I'm not ridiculing him.
Mm.
And to start with, I keep saying something, that we that are public figures, we are supposed to be those that scripture fits, we should be blameless.
Mm.
Once you stand at the altar and you are preaching, then you become a public figure. Therefore, you are already in the public court. Mm. Everyone judges us.
Wow.
And that is why some of us cannot go to certain places, cannot do certain things. We bear it for the sake of the ministry. Mm. We are ambassadors for Christ.
Mm.
We are witnesses, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are things that must not be heard mentioned around us concerning the faith. If the woman decides to leave, you are justified.
Mm.
And you have to do everything to bring her back. But if you are the one that now drive her away, then I'm saying that you are leaving the whole public to judge you. So you know what I'm doing is not popular.
That's right.
You know what I'm doing is not popular.
Very true.
And that's the reason why Sunday Adelaja in Ukraine and people at Daddy Freeze began to, I think they were doing something strange.
Mm.
Because you never, all this what Igila is doing, did you see any big name in Christianity talk about it?
That's true, sir.
No, nobody has mentioned it.
Nobody mentions it.
Mm.
You know, you see, followers of the end time message. Followers of the end time message. I had a discussion with a pastor friend yesterday. And how that a brother, a church in Port Harcourt, you know, and disagreed with me, and a member on doctrine, and a member of, you know, my church here in Lagos, went to Port Harcourt, relocated, and got his address without my knowledge, and went to worship there, expecting to be received as, you know, another intermission church. And then he asked, where are you coming from? He said, he's from Pastor Alu's church. He said, if you are from Pastor Alu's church, don't come to this church. Go and look for your likes and worship with them. It baffled me. Now, again, a few days ago, somebody called me from Boni and said that he saw a signboard of an intermission called Bride something. I said, oh, this may be one of us. An online member looking for where to go and baptize. Went to the church. And when they got there, he said that they are followers of one other pastor, Omoboriowo, Amos Omoboriowo. His pictures are everywhere, that he is the man of the moment. If you don't follow him, you are not going to rapture. And he said, do you know Pastor Alu? He said, yeah, we know him. He's leading you people to hell. He is this, he's that, he's this. Now, I was sharing that with a pastor in Jos. And the pastor told me, he said, brother, do you know that you will never see a denominational pastor speaking like that against one another? Do you understand? I'm making reference to why you notice none of them is saying anything against that. And I quickly answered him. I said, no. I said, they are under a fraternity. Number one, the average denominational man is brought up not to speak against any man of God.
Father in the Lord.
For any reason. And secondly, they all belong to an association. The Christian Association of Nigeria, the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria, they belong to these unions, or the College of Bishops, or the College of Prophets, or you know, the group they belong, group or the other. And of course, you cannot be my
colleague.
My this and then I'll criticize you openly. Maybe they do it privately, maybe. Maybe they call them privately and they talk to them. You know, but you will never see them criticize. And I keep saying it, that God will judge all of you, men of God, all of you, that see the truth. Because the Bible says somewhere that cursed is he that keepeth the sword.
Jeremiah 48, 10, if I'm right.
In Jeremiah.
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah said to Isaiah said this.
Yes. Jeremiah 48, verse 10.
Now, Jeremiah chapter 48.
Verse 10.
Verse 10.
Verse
10.
10. It says, cursed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. That person is cursed. And also, cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. You see something wrong, you refuse to correct it. He said you are cursed. You do the work of the Lord deceitfully. You are cursed. And that the group of ministers in the fivefold ministry that are guilty of this most are the prophets. Deceitfully. They do the work of the Lord.
That's right. Deceit.
So you see, now what I'm saying is a normal sermon. But I just made a comment. Somebody took it and put it in the media and it went viral.
That's true.
What did I say there that is newsworthy? What did I say in that tape that is newsworthy? There's nothing there. And who were those that were passionate bloggers who are not Christians?
That's right.
Because they know that what is going on is wrong. Even morally, you treat a human being like that, a woman, because you're in a position of advantage. She's a woman, you are a man. You have money. She's dependent totally on you. So you treat her anyhow. Igila, when you married that woman, you had nothing. She stayed with you.
Wow.
That prophetess in South Africa will never turn and look at you if you were that poor at the time that you met the embassy. People, you know, treat human beings as if there's no God behind them. There's nothing my wife will do against me that would make me say you should leave. What for? What for? I'm saying it openly.
Wow.
When I tell you people at the altar here, for 32 years now, this will be married. I married us in 1986. Go and ask her, I've been saying it. I have never insulted her, use any negative idiot. Or carry my hand and slap her. You know, some men of God beat their wives. That's why they cannot preach on marriage and divorce. When they what will they preach? What will they preach now when the girls are sleeping with her there and looking at them in the congregation?
Wow.
You know. So Christianity has been messed up and there's no voice. That is why no voice to contend and bring us back in line. And that's why God reserved a restoration ministry.
Amen. The bride has a voice
and
now.
That's right. The bride also has a voice.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I want to put this straight. I am not taking it personal with Igila. Igila, whatever he's doing, is a reflection of his knowledge of the Christian faith. And I'm here, not Igila, but that nobody should take a cue from him. That what he's done is wrong, is unscriptural. And that nobody should take a cue from him. And that anybody that knows Igila, he should tell him, I want to see him. He needs to go back to his wife. You need to tell that woman to leave and go back to South Africa. And repent and go to her husband. She is living with another woman's husband.
But they have a child now.
Yes. It's a mistake that they have to live with. Give the children back to Igila. She has a mother. Take care of them. She has a wife. And let her go. It's a mistake they have made, and God can forgive them. It's not an unpardonable sin.
Wow.
And he can. Or, if you love that woman too much, then she will resign from the ministry.
Marry both of them.
And then, the mistake, and stay with them, because he cannot be with two of them.
And they have the ministry.
The option is taken. It's not acceptable to drive one, and he's driving the wrong one. If you want to stay with one, drive that second one, and bring back the first one. And reconcile. If you come to me, I will pray with you. I will talk to your first wife. If you want us to meet in America, I'll buy my ticket. Let's fly down and meet your wife in New Jersey. We will meet her there.
Wow.
And we will settle your marriage. After all, Reverend Kuka settle Obasanjo with Atiku. Why can't I settle Igila with his wife?
Okay. Wherever you are, it will not be too much to say a round of applause for our pastor.
That's right.
He has spoken at length and he has hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for these words of wisdom, sir. I believe everyone that is listening and everyone that is interested in knowing the truth will learn from what the pastor has said. We'll take a short break and when we come back, we'll look at other matters arising. Stay tuned.